Okay, boys. Today's daf is daf Chav Dalid. We're going to start from Chav Gimel Amud Beis, the Mishnah, all the way on the bottom. Zok the Mishnah, Hakoyre ba Toira lo yivchois mishloishe psukim. As we've been speaking over the last few days, a person who has an aliyah, the minimum psukim for the aliyah is 3 psukim. You recall we had the machloikis between Rav and Shmuel. What happens if you don't have enough psukim? Whether you're going to repeat it like we did on Rish Chodesh, or whether we're going to split it according to Shmuel. But under normal circumstances, you always have to have a minimum of 3 psukim. V'lo yikra l'meturgimon yoyse miposuk echad. As you know, it was customary in the good old days that there was a meturgimon that would translate each one of the psukim of the Baal Koreh. Rashi said earlier it was for purposes of the noshim and ami haratzim, people that were not educated and did not know what the psukim meant in Hebrew, and this way they were able to understand
it. So how would it go? The Baal Koreh would read one pasuk, and
correct,
then it'd go one,
right, one at a time. Exactly. That's what the Mishnah is telling us. Even though the Ola says, it's just 3 psukim, let me finish. No, no, no. Vayidab Hashem Moshe Leimar. Ba'amar Hashem, etc., etc. You'll take out the Targum Unklus and you'll see exactly what he said. So he would say it pasuk by pasuk. Ubenavi, when you're reading the Haftorah Shloisha, then you can allow the Metargim to say 3 psukim at a time. In other words, first allow the Baal Koreh, who's reading the Haftorah, to say 3 psukim, take a break, now the Metargim will say 3 psukim, and then the Baal Koreh, in other words, the Ola, the one that got the Mafti, he will continue. What's the reason why we distinguish between Torah and Novi, says Rashi? By Torah, we want to make sure that the person understands and hears every word, because since he's uneducated, this is the basic Jewish education he's going to get vis-a-vis halacha lemaisa. Oh, he's going to hear that there's a din of wearing tzitzis. He's going to hear that there's a din you're not allowed to eat chazer. He's going to hear that you're not allowed to wear shatnez, etc., etc. If you're going to go and say 2 or 3 psukim at once, he may get mixed up. It'll be like a tzadamin gemisht as a ganze mishke bibble. He'll think that you're not allowed to wear chazer and you're not allowed to eat shatnez. He won't know what's going on. You're not allowed to eat cholim. That'd be the worst. And therefore, you have to do one pasuk at a time. However, when you're doing Navi, says Rashi, worse comes to worse if he gets mixed up. It doesn't have any halakhic ramifications. Yeah, there's occasionally one or two psukim you learn for Drushas Chazal, but Bederach Klal, it's mostly a narrative, which is very fine and interesting and historic. But if you mix up a couple of the details, if you think that Shlomo Melech came before David Melech, okay, it's not the end of the world. So therefore, we allow the Navi, the Metargim, to say 3 psukim at a time. However, if in the Novi 3 of the psukim in a row turn out to have 3 totally different contexts, although usually in this type of situation parashiyos would mean that it goes from samach to samach or pay to pay, meaning that it's a separate parasha on its own. However, the Ritva points out that the Gemara's example that we're going to see shortly in Yeshaya, in fact, is not set off as a separate parasha on its own, but rather it's just that there are 3 inyonim, 3 separate topics, and therefore, then you should allow the Metargim to Metargim each one individually, because since it's totally 3 separate things, don't mix it all together like a cholent. Then koyrin echad echad. If the person who's saying the Haftorah wants to go and jump in the Novi itself, and if you look up the Haftorahs, and if you're familiar with Haftorahs, and some of the Haftorahs, in fact, we do skip a few psukim in the middle, and we go from one capital to another capital, that's permissible, but not...
Safer to another safer.
Well, we're going to... You're stealing my line, so we're going to have that in the Gemara, surely. Thanks for helping us out. We're going to get to that shortly. Anyway, medalgim, menavim, ve'im medalgim, betoira, but you cannot go and do a dealing in the Torah. We're going to see in the Gemara that you are allowed to be medalgim, betoira, and that's why we, of course, every single Tanis, when we learn from Vayichal, after Koyim and get to Levi, we go and skip one Omer in the Torah. Anyway, we're going to talk about that in the Gemara shortly. So you can't be medalgim, betoira. But kamahu medalik, how much can you medalik by Novi? Remember, according to the Mishnah, you're allowed to be medalik, you're allowed to skip around in Novi, but not in the Torah. And even in the Novi, when you're being medalik, Don't be medalik at kadesh liyivsei kama turgamen. If you do it a quick job, that while the Meturgeman is still explaining and translating, you're able to do the revolutions of the klaf in the Navi, or if you're learning it from a Chumash or a Tanakh, you're able to quickly go and change the pages, turn the pages, that's fine. However, if after the Meturgeman is finished, you're still doing the Glile, you're still rolling the Navi scroll, or if you're still looking for the place, then that's no good. The reason why that's no good, says Rashi, they kovod ha-tzibur. The tzibur wants to continue the haftarah, and they all have to sit on their hands, waiting. That's not a bekovod dikazach. And that's why it also says that the gaboim should be very, very careful to try to revolve the Torah scroll before the laning, in other words, do it before davening or sometime earlier, so that when it comes laning, you don't open up, we have to go all the way from Boi till Pinchas or something like that, because everybody will be sitting waiting around for 5 minutes, and that's not a kavod hatzibur. Okay, Zokimar, we start the Mishnah again, that everybody's supposed to have a minimum of 3 psukim, hani gimel psukim connected me. Why Dafke 3? Ravasi, can they get turn to be Miksuvim, just like Tanakh has 3 parts, so you have to have 3 psukim for every aliyah. For Yikra the Meturgeman, you always be Pasik Echot, don't go and read more than one Pasik at a time, but not the Gimel Psukim like we had in the Mishnah. However, if the 3 psukim in the Haftorah were of 3 different natures, 3 different inyonim, then the Metargim should go and translate each one individually. In other words, the Balkore reads one pasuk, Metargim is Metargim, the Balkore reads the next, Metargim, Balkore reads the third one, and the Metargim translates the third one. Now, where do you have a situation like that? Where do you find that? So, Timor Kigoin, Kichoy Omar Hashem, Chinam Nemkartem, Kichoy Omar Hashem, Walakim Mitzrayim, Yoran Ami Borishoina, the Atam Mali Boin, Yom Hashem. These are 3 psukim all in Yeshaya, Chof Beis or Nun Beis. I can't see it so clearly.
It's Nun Beis.
Okay. Anyway, whichever one it is, it's 3 psukim in a row, 1, 2, 3, and each one of them, if you look it up, you'll see that they have different contexts, and therefore the metargim should not be metargim all 3 together, should be metargim 1 at a time. When it comes to Torah, you're not allowed to skip around or a mini. We learned back in Masechtas Yuma that the Kohen Gadol, in addition to all the avodah that he did that day, also read from the Torah describing the avodah that he did that day. And what did he read? Number one, he was Koyre from Achri Mois. Achri Mois has the Avoides Hayoim, the Parim, the Tetusairim, and the Hagrola, and the Sarah Mishtaleach, and the Ktoires. All of that is in the beginning of Parshas Achri Mois. And then you skip ahead to the Achba Osor, which is in Parshas Emor. So from Achri Mois to Emor is not a big jump, but it is a bit of a jump, because you have Achri Mois, and then you have Kedoshim, and then you have Emor. And in Emor, it tells you the Kabonis Hayoim. The Achbe also the Emor here. That's the Emor is where we lay in Shor Echesav Yez Ki Yevoleid. That's one of the frequent things that we lay in on Yom Tov. Anyway, Sefrei Timora V'Hakam Adalik. The Kohen Gadol doesn't read the entire Achri Mois and Kedoshim and Parshas Emor, but rather after he finishes in Achri Mois till roughly Sheni or Shlishi, which is the end of the Avodah, then he skips the end of Achri Mois, skips Kedoshim, jumps into Parshas Emor. Become medalgin. Didn't you just say a moment ago in the Mishnah that when it comes to Torah, ein medalgin? It depends on how big the dilug is. If in the middle of laning, if the Kohen Gadol had to go from Achri Mois all the way to Parshas Pinchas, for instance, or all the way to somewhere in Devarim, that would be prohibited. Why? Because the Torgeman, how long does it take for him to be Metargim one Pasig? 15 seconds, 20 seconds, 25 seconds, depending, of course, on how long the Pasuk is. And if you're going to go all the way from the middle of Vayikra to somewhere in the middle of Pinchas, or somewhere into Dvarim, that's going to take you more than a minute or two or three. And therefore, that's going to be more Shi'ifs HaKamah Torgeman. However, since from Achri Mois until Parshas Emor is relatively close, that you can do it very, very quickly before the Meturgeman has completed his targum, then that's okay. Pray tomorrow. No, that doesn't sound right. For Alok Tani, going back to the Mishnah, we gave a rule that medalgin menavi, the ain medalgin ba'toira. And in the Mishnah, when we said you're allowed to be medalik b'navi, but even by navi v'ad kamahu medalik, ad kedei shlo yifsei katorgeman, is a mashma that this is a special rule regarding navi, that you're allowed to be medalik, but it's got to be relatively short. It's mashma that when it comes to reading from the Sefer Torah, no exceptions, zero. Gunished, no tolerance policy, no parking, no standing, or you're going to get a $400 ticket. And therefore, what is this business, Yifsek HaBeturgamin? Yifsek HaBeturgamin is only vis-a-vis Navi, not vis-a-vis the Torah. Elam Rabayis, Rabayis said you have a good point, Loi Kasha. Kan b'inyin echad, kan b'shtei in yonois, perhaps it should b'shtei in yonim, that it depends on whether it's one inyan or two inyanim. That if it happens to be one inyan, you are allowed to jump from one parsha to the other. If it's two inyanim, you're not allowed to go and jump from one parsha to the other. What time didn't we learn medalgin b'toira b'inyan? No, this is not a kasha, but this is a rai b'dichusa. Vatanya, I'll bring you a rai from a braisa. Medalgin b'toira b'inyan echad. If it's in the toira, you're allowed to go be medalik. As long as the two lanings are one inyan, you're allowed to be medalik from one place to the other. And therefore, you're allowed to go from Achrei Mois into Emar, since both of them are talking about the Avodah Sayyoyim of Yom Kippur. Ubenavi, you're allowed to even go and jump Bishnei Inyanim, from one to the other. Notice the previous line said Inyanois, it says Inyanim. And for the Gemara, Zokta Braisa, Kan Vekan, but in both cases, both in the case of the Torah, and the case of the Navi, Bechdesh Lo Yivzeka Torgim, and it's got to be a very, very quick revolution of the Torah scroll, or of the Navi scroll, so that by the time you're finished, the Torgeman is still explaining and translating the previous pasuk. So therefore, what does it come out bottom line? What it comes out bottom line is that both in Torah and in Navi, you are allowed to be medalik. However, when it comes to Torah, there are two requirements. When it comes to Navi, there's only one requirement. When it comes to Torah, the two requirements are, number one, it's got to be Be'inyan Echad, and number two, it's got to be Kadesh L'Yifzikat Torgimin, so it's got to be very, very quick. You can go from Achri Mois till Emor, because they're the same Inyan, and because it takes only just one or two quick scrolls, quick rolls, no problem before the Torgimin is finished. However, when it comes to the Navi, then the Navi, you can even skip in two separate Inyanim. From Pesach to Shavuos, you're allowed to go and change from one Inyan to the other, but once again, it's got to be Kadesh, Lo Yifzeh, Katorgim, and it's got to be very, very quick. Why, by Torah, does it have to be Inyan Echad? And by Navi, Shnei Inyanim? Because, like we said before, since by Torah we're talking about Torah and Halacha, we don't want people to get confused. We want people to be able to go and focus. So if you're going from Yom Kippur to Yom Kippur, from Achrei Mois till Parshas Emor, that's okay. People can, it'll hold their attention. They'll listen carefully. And if you go and do that, if you're going to go in Torah, Rashi says, from Parshas Negoyim to Parshas Zovin, people are going to go, whoa, we just finished Negat Saras, and now we talk about Zov and Zova. Person can get confused. So therefore that you cannot skip from one to the other. When it comes to Navi, worse comes to worse, the person gets confused in Shnei Inyanim. He's not sure the difference between Yirmiyah and between David HaMelech. Well, you don't usually find David HaMelech in Yirmiyah. But he confuses David with Shlomo HaMelech. Okay, so he confuses it. It's an Ishkeferlech. You don't have any halacha coming out of it. And so it's not the end of the world. Tan Yidach another. Braisa, Ein Medalgim Navi L'Navi. So this is what David Fishman mentioned already when we came to the Mishnah. When you're talking about from one Navi to the other, for instance, from Yirmiyah to Yeshayah, or Yeshayah to Yecheskel, Ein Medalgim. However, Navi Shoshnei Ma'asar, if you're talking about Trey Asar, it's from Oivadya to Nochum to Chagiz Chai Malachi, all of those, the Trey Asar, that you're allowed to be medalic from one to the other because it's considered to be like one large Navi. That's why you package them together as the Trey Asar. But you're not allowed to go backwards. Chag Yizchai Malachi are at the end. At the earlier on, you have Yichvais, you have Yoina, and you have Nochum, and others. So you're allowed to go from Yoina and Nochum to Chag Yizchai Malachi, but don't lengthen for Chag Yizchai Malachi and then go backwards to Yoina or to Nochum or one of those.
The key point being that the prayers are all in one clock, they're all in one scroll.
They have to be in one scroll. From one scroll to the other, no good. Zoka Mishnah Vaitim. Ha'amavte benovi, hu poilis al shema, hu oivel lefnei ateva, hu noise es kapav. What the Mishnah tells us is something along the lines of what we discussed yesterday briefly, and that is, although today many people look at Haftorah being as one of the crown prizes, if you want to go and be mechabit somebody with a nice mechabedik aliyah, say the person is a Yisrael, you say to yourself, well, I'll try to get him a shlishi, I'll try to get him a shishi, I'll try to get him a haftorah. That's not the way it was in the times of the Mishnah. Maftir was not considered to be a groyser kovite. And presumably the reason is because the whole Haftorah was just a filler or a substitute during those years when people were not allowed to go and lane from the Sefer Torah. Unfortunately, there were years in Klal Yisrael where the evil enemy governments, the Gentiles, didn't allow us to go and lane. And so therefore, the Chachamim of those years decided to go and get a Novi substitute, and they tried to find something in the Novi which was akin to what you would normally lay in the Parsha, so that people would remember that this is Parsha Tzav, or this is Parsha Shemini, because they would have the Haftorah which would talk about those topics. And even after that, Baruch Hashem, when finally Kadosh Baruch and Rachmanis on Klal Yisrael, and we were able to start leaning from the Torah, so then they already kept this minig of the Haftorah, and they were not mevatelit. That's why we had a clear, we had a shaili yesterday in the Gemara, whether the Baal Maftir is included within the seven Olim, or maybe he's only number eight, because seven Olim is the requirement, and he's just an additional secondary Aliyah, and we only give him an Aliyah, said the Gemara yesterday, so that we shouldn't equate the reading of the Torah with the reading of the Navi and say, well, seven people read for the Torah, one person reads for the Navi, but it's all basically, no, it's not the same at all. That's why we give him an aliyah. Oh, so then he is Taka basically the same because they're laning from the Torah. And then secondary too is aliyah to the Torah. He also lanes from the Navi. Why do we have this whole Hakdama? This whole Hakdama is because, as we'll see, since laning from the Navi was considered to be somewhat of a letdown, to appease this individual, he shouldn't feel totally affronted. Ay, 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 they gave me Haftorah again, I can't. So they would give him other kibudim so that he should feel appeased and he should feel good about himself. They tell a somewhat jocular story, and say some places they say that it's a true story, that a person came into shul and they gave him the aliyah of Ravi. He was a guest, and they gave him Ravi. And the person was a little bit offended because, and he, so he told the Gabbai, he said, I want you to know, I'm a guest here in Shul, it's true. Where I daven, normally, usually we give a Ravi to, you know, one of the backbenchers, someone, not someone who's the AAA member. He's, so the Gabbai said to him, yeah, we have the same minute here too. Okay, anyway. that's the reason why, okay, so you got it. Good. Anyway, back to Amishas, so the person who is the maftir, to appease him, we gave him Paris al Shema. He's over with Neateva.
Who knows what Paris al Shema is?
We're going to explain momentarily. Okay. We're giving him three separate kibudim to appease him. Boy, this guy really felt embarrassed. So you give him the priest of Shema, you give him the Oivel of Neateva, the Unoisi as Kapov. Now the Oivel of Neateva is the easiest of these three,
right,
that will mechabed him to go and daven. And in fact, it's fairly customary in many shuls that the person who gets the Haftorah will mechabed him to go and daven Musaf. Very often, as Brother Shai pointed out yesterday, the person we give him after to is the person who has yard sight, and therefore he wants to daven Musaf not only because of the fact that we're appeasing him, but because of the yard sight. All of that is true. Anyway, so that's the easy one. Now, what is the Poyris al Shema and the Noisis Kapov? The Poyris al Shema we discussed briefly yesterday. You'll recall at the beginning of the Mishnah on Chav Gimel Amid Beis, it says, Ein Porsin al Shema. What exactly is this Poyris al Shema? It's a little bit murky, if you will. Number one, because we don't really have that essential framework today, and because it's in fact the machloikis between Rashi and Tosis, exactly what the priest of Shema was all about. But the way Rashi said back on Chavkim Lamed Beis, if you want to take a quick look, the third line from the top, he had a minyan abola beis hakneses la'achas yekoru hatzibur es Shema. People walk into shul, is a minyan that walks into shul. Ran explains Rashi that they already had davened, but each one davened on his own, so there were 10 people in fact that just came into shul. They didn't have a minyan for themselves, each one davened privately, and now they're coming in, they want to chop whatever they can to be part of the davening. So they come, the Baal Tefillah and everybody else is holding in the middle of Kriya Shema, and what do? Oymed Echad, one of the newcomers comes in, and he says, Kaddish, Ubarchu, Ubrachu Rishoyne Shema Kriya Shema. He says a Kaddish, in other words, he quickly puts on his tefillin again, and then at the end of Yishtabach, he says Kaddish, hey, he says Baruchu, he says the Bracha Rishoyne Shema Kriya Shema, the Bracha Rishoyne is Yoytzer HaMa'oyrois, right? Yoytzer Arevar Choyshech. So he says all of that, and that's why it's called Prisa, because Rashi says Prisa is Chatzi Dover. He doesn't say the entire Kriya Shema, he only says half of it. He doesn't even say the whole Kriya Shema at all. He only says half of it, because he says the first bracha of Yoytzer HaMa'oyrois, and then presumably at some point they get together with the rest of the minyan, and then everybody is davening Shemon Esrei, and then they wait around for Kedusha, and the person who hasn't davened yet, presumably he'll try to jump upon the train of the mass of people that are davening. Anyway, that's the Inyan Prisa Shema, that we allow a person to chaparain part of the davening by doing a Kaddish Mita Baruch Hu with a davening part of the Kriya Shema and part of the Brichas Kriya Shema.
This is all prior to Haftorah, because
let's get back to that in a moment. First of all, I want to get Ariel happy that he knows what Purish HaShema is. So Purish HaShema is a kibbud where you're not davening the entire davening. You only get a select portion of the davening where you say a Kaddish, where you say a Baruch Hu, where you say the first bracha of Kriya Shema.
We talked about, like, earlier, you know, Tircha de Tzibura. Isn't this a tremendous Tircha that, you know, a group is holding up the whole...
It's a good question. So had Rashi not said Kor Hatzibur Eshema, I would have said that we're waiting until the whole davening is over, and then people arrive on the scene, and they want to be able to go and make a baruch, which is, by the way, not uncommon today, that you have the whole Olam is finished davening. Somebody, unfortunately, came late. He couldn't make it. His bus was delayed. There was traffic. He couldn't get a parking space. Whatever it was, he arrives in the middle of Ashri Yuvol Tzion. He puts on his talis and tefillin, and he's upset. Ay, 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 there's no minyan left. I'm not going to be able to daven until the Betzibur. But people are still unraveling the talis and tefillin after davening is over. And he says, well, boy, so would you mind if I go and say a quick baruch hu? And what he does is he goes and says Kaddish before. He says a baruch hu. If everybody could wait another 5 minutes, he says quickly Kriya Shema and Shemon Esrei. And when he comes to Shemon Esrei, he says the first part out loud to be able to go and say Kedusha out loud. It's that type of concept, even though that's not exactly what Rashi is referring to, but it's that type of concept. And we're talking about people that are nice and generous and gracious, like we have here, that they're willing to go the extra mile to help somebody else who didn't have a chance to say Baruch Hu and Kedusha. Good, so that's the general concept.
But that's what everyone's done davening with the poras.
I understand. You're saying over here it seems to be a tircha.
Yeah.
If people can't stay, they'll say they're Kaddish. But if people are willing to and they have time and it's COVID, they're not going to the offices anyway and everything is shut down and it's New Year's or whatever, if people are willing to do it, they can do it. So anyway, that's the concept of Prisa Shema, that you don't get a full Amud, you get as a halba Amud to do certain things. So now, although the person who is laning the Navi, he obviously has davened already. I mean, he's taftoyer and all the rest. What the Mishnah is telling us is that when people come in, sometimes the person that comes in is not sufficiently edumacated well enough to be able to even do the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu and the Kedusha. And therefore, you can have a person who acts as a Shliach Tzibur on his behalf to be Moitzi him. He says, oh, you missed Baruch Hu. No, say a Baruch Hu. Sorry, mister, I read from a Russian transliterated Siddur. My parents never taught me how to read. I never went to Cheder. I don't know. Can you you can, he will go and say the Kaddish or the Baruch on his behalf and be Moitzim. That's the concept of the Paris HaShema, the person who's Maftir, Paris HaShema. Now, Barry asked a minute ago, the problem is that Paris HaShema took place Shachris time. If we're talking about Maftir Benovi, that's long, long past. How are we going to tell the Maftir Benovi now, okay, to appease you, you can go up now and go and say Baruch Hu, and you can go and say Kaddish, and go and say Kedusha of Shachrish Manasseh. That's history. So, say the Meforshim, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says this is not a one-time event. This is someone who is always the Baal Maftir on a regular basis. If you see the Mishnah, says Rashi, HaMaftir Benovi, Misha Rogil LaHaftir Benovi, someone who gets the Haftorah on a regular basis. You have shuls where most of the people are Amaratzim and the person cannot go and read from the Navi, or it could be they have the Hakpoda, like in certain shuls that they read from a scroll, and they're not Mechabed the Baal Koreh, they wanted the Ola to read from the Navi itself. So the average individual cannot go and read the Haftorah from a Navi without preparing. So he was the Misha Rogla Haftorah Navi, he was the regular Haftorah Baal Koreh, but he must feel very, very offended. Here, the other Baal Koreh, he lanes all the Aliyahs, and he gets always the Haftorah. It's Tak Mechacham, Shei Paris HaShemah, they were Mechabed him, that he is the daily or weekly or monthly Paris HaShemah person whenever it's necessary. If everybody is done with a minyan and nobody needs a Paris HaShemah, wonderful. But on occasion, when people will come in on a Sunday morning, on a Tuesday morning, on a Thursday morning, whatever it happens to be, he'll be the person to be moitzi the others that come in late and need someone to say for them a Kaddish and a Baruch. Does that address your question?
Yes, it does.
Wonderful.
Now you see why the Gabbai has to give out honey cake, Aaron Kipper.
Why is that?
Because he could offend this guy and offend that guy. This guy's got this, he has to the mafia give him this.
That's very, very true. The problem is sometimes one piece of honey cake doesn't do it. Anyway.
Well, if it was worth that, then the Gabbai asks us for money.
Oh, you see that?
Does that mean you have a kippah?
No, you don't ask if the person wants to give because
somebody makes some doubts for that, you know, probably should give them.
Okay. Anyway, in our shul, the custom is people do not give money. There's one particular individual that does. They always argue with him. He said, "Nine, this is the minute. I'm not going to fight with him." But who knows he has kappah? Who knows he has kappah means that he is the one that's going to duchen. As a result of Nebuch, he is being mistreated and maltreated, that he's the one that has to go and lay the Haftorah each time, so we appease him by saying, you're going to go and dechen. And the obvious question is, if he is a Kohen, then he has to dechen anyway. If he's not a Kohen, he can stand on his head. Make sure don't do a Kita, because Chas V'Shalom, then you'll get lame like lady. So what is this, Mu'noisiyah's Kapov? Is a machloikas achroinim how to learn pshat. According to the Tosis Yontif, the minhag was that when you had 2, 3, 5, 10 kehanim going up, they didn't all start simultaneously. There was one that was appointed to start the bracha first, Baruch, and then everybody joined in after he started. So therefore, to appease the person who always gets the haftorah, you're a Kohen, you'll be the one that starts Baruch Atu Hashem, and then everybody, all the other Kohanim, will join with you. That's how the Tosis Yom Tov learns Pshat in the Mishnah. The Gevuras Ari, otherwise known as the Shagas Aryeh, says a different Pshat. He says, there's a Gemara that says, what happens if you have an ear, Shekula Kohanim? You come to a shul, and everybody in shul is a Kohen. What do you do in a situation like that? Now, you think to yourself that this is only a theoretical case. I understand in Djerba, if I'm not mistaken, Djerba is an island off Algeria. Everybody will jump at me, no, it's not true. It's not next to Algeria, it's next to Ethiopia, it's next to Morocco. Wherever Djerba happens to be, there was a Kehillah in Djerba until very recently. There might still be a few left there. And there were shuls where only kahanim in that shul. What do you do when it comes to duchen? So it says in halacha, it's a gemara, and it says also in halacha that, for instance, if you have at least 11 kohanim, then 10 should sit in the audience or stand in the audience, and one kohen will go and duchen for them. And if you have 12 or 15 or 20, make sure you have a minimum of 10 who are mekabel the nesias kapayim, and then the other kohanim can all be the ones that duchen. Ah, says the Shagas Aryeh, that in case this Maftir Benovi is in a shul where he's a kohen and everybody else a kohanim, he will be always one of those that are the Mavorachim and not the Misbarachim, one of those that are blessing. He's a blesser and not the blessee. He'll always be the one that gets up. So that's considered to be a Groyser Kovid, that he's not part of the audience, but he goes to the Duchan, We do that because to appease him.
We have no Ir Kohanim in Tanakh in Sefer Shmuel, so mm-hmm. it's not. You don't have to go to Algeria. You have it in the Tanakh.
It says that Noiv Ir Kohanim, but doesn't say they didn't have Yisraelim too. It just says that there were Kohanim there. So maybe there are others, maybe Levium and Yisraelim. And we know what happened to Noiv. Yes, they didn't have a very noble ending, unfortunately. Anyway, so getting back to Mishnah. Vim Hoyer Kotten Oviv. What happens if the person who's laning the Novi is a very nice young man, 10, 12 years old, he's a cotton. A cotton is allowed to go and be maftim Novi. Even today, we allow katanim to be maftim Novi. It's not a common occurrence, but one can allow, and many shuls they do allow for cotton to be maftim. So what happens if he has a beautiful voice, and he's a very smart young man, and he's the one that they appointed to be maftim all the time? So we want to appease him and give him the daven for the omid, but he can't, because he's still a cotton. So what do? We don't want the father or the rabbi to be disgraced that they have a son. The whole thing sounds a little bit extraordinary, because I would think that if you appoint a cotton to go and lay in the haftarah, this would be something that a father or a rabbi would be very proud. You see, my son, he's only 10, 12 years old, and he's laying in the great shul there of Jeriba, or wherever it happens to be, and he's laying there from the Navi. But unfortunately, this was not considered to be a kibud, choshuv, and therefore we have to appease now not so much the cotton, but the oviv or rabbi that are offended that their son is always has this, if you will, demeaning aliyah that he gets Navi. Now, if you're saying to yourself, but he couldn't get any other, so if anything, this is a big kibbutz for the cotton. If you remember in yesterday's Gemara, on Chav Gimel Omet Aleph, it says that Hakoil Oilu Leminyan Shiva, it's about 7-8 lines from the bottom, Hakoil Leminyan Shiva Afilu Cotton. Even a cotton is allowed to get one of the main regularly, it's the Koyin, the Levi, Yisrael, etc. Shlishi, Revi, Chamishi, a cotton is allowed to get. Halacha L'maisa says in Mishnah Berurah, it says Achrayim, we are not Noheg that way, we do not give a cotton aliyah except for Mahdi. But the Ikra Din, this is permissible. And therefore, since it's permissible, why is this cotton always getting Novi? How come he never gets a Shlishi or a Shishi or a Revi or a Chamishi or anything else? To appease the family. The Ovrei Rabbi will be the Ovrei Aliyodai. They're going to be the ones that are going to daven for the Ovrei. Yes.
So theoretically, if the only Kohen was a cotton, you could give him the Aliyah?
Which Aliyah?
First Aliyah.
See, in the times of Chazal, even if there were multiple Kohanim, the cut could get
right.
Exactly. Today we would not, because the custom is not to give him anything other than Maftir. However, in the times of Chazal, even if there were 1,000 Kohanim in Shul, all Kohanim Gedolim, and he's the cotton, he could get Melia. Yes, sir.
This kind of this tacitized, if you will, to the minute that person gets Maftir, Jem, that was Musaf also. Yes, and many
we discussed that before you came in, and we said that it's very possible that that's how this, in fact, eventually became more evolved, could be, as well as in Shulchan Aruch, it says in Ramah, in Hilchos Simchos Machos, that a person who has Yardside, he has Idin Kadima, both for Haftaira, as well as for Musaf. So that possibly also somehow grew out of our mission, our Gemara. Beginning back to the Mishnah, the Moya Kotten, if he was a Kotten, then Ovim, Oiv, Rabbi, Oivim, Al Yadeh. By the way, the reason why it says Oivilif Nehateva, it's brought in the Mepharshim, because when the Baal Tefillah was Mechubit to go and Davin, not like today where you go straight to the Amud, but rather, for instance, by Pesuke de Zimra or by Kriya Shema, they were still standing in back, akin to what you have in certain Ashkenazish shuls, that for instance, when it comes Kabbalah Shabbos, the Kabbalah Shabbos is at the Bima, and then when it comes to Maariv, they go up to the Shtender in front of the shul. So similar to that, the Bali Tefillah first started off the davening in the middle of the shul, and then when it came to Shemoneh Esrei, then they were Oivel Lefnei HaTeva, they went in front of the Teva, being the Aron Kodesh, and they davened over there in the Mokam Yuchad for the Chazam. So they were Oivel Lefnei HaTeva, that they moved up in life from the middle of the davening, where they're in the middle of the shul, to the Shemoneh Esrei, where they moved to the front of the shul, to the Lefnei HaTeva. Anyway, so it says, the Ovav Rabbi Oivel Yodai, to appease the family. Well, tomorrow we're going to talk about that more. Yes.
Yeah, that would be a practical matter, no? Well,
what do you mean a practical matter?
When you start Mosuf,
yeah.
Sefer Torah is in with the Bima,
yeah.
See Davne. Then when you return Sefer Torah, you're over on Tanya Teva.
Ah, okay, that's nice. Yeah, but this applies even by Shachris, over on Tanya Teva, that you go from the. We don't have a Sefer Torah out yet. You just finish Kriya Shema, and then you go to the front to finish off Shema Nesri. Continuing the Mishnah. Yes, cotton koyde betoyde umetargim. A cotton can be the bal korei. Again, that's not the mini today, but in the good old days when he was able to get an aliyah, he could lane from the Torah. Umetargim, he could certainly be the betargim. That's no issue. Avol ene poyres al shema veine oivav nea teva. The ene noisi is kapav. Since he's a cotton, he can be moitzi others. How come by laning he can be moitzi others when it comes to Baruchu and to davening for the Omid? Why can't he moitzi others? What's the problem? So in the Beforshim explain that Kriyas HaTorah is different than davening. When it comes to davening, there's a mitzvah for everybody to go and say the davening himself. And so therefore, if a person cannot say, that's the whole Indian of a Shliach Tzibur. The Shliach Tzibur is moitzi people. Today, that's become a little bit more of a historical footnote, because today everybody has Sidurim, and virtually everybody today knows basic Hebrew, except those people that are Bali Tshuva. And so therefore, we don't really need the Shliach Tzibur to be moitzias. But that's the concept of a Shliach Tzibur. He's the Shliach, the messenger on behalf of the Tzibur. Mashaykh, when it comes to laning, the basic mitzvah of laning is a din of Shmir, that you have to hear the laning in shul read properly from a Sefer Torah. So therefore, it's not that the cotton is moitzi people. As long as the cotton does a good job in laning the Torah and says the words out loud and I can go and hear it, and then you yoitze. He's not being moitzi me, and that's why they don't make an announcement every single time by Kriyas HaTorah every week. Everybody should have a dinner to be yoitze, and he should be a dinner to be moitzi like you do by Megillah line. Because here, in fact, it's a dinner of likroi and not lishmoya.
Is that the two difference between the somehow this keeps palm toilet when you hear Kriyas HaTorah, and therefore it heals anybody in the while Mikra Megillah is actual, so it is a thing, so that's
could be.
And shofar, the Shmuel called shofar is the bracha. So could a cotton be mostly someone
based on this? Perhaps yes. Yeah, in a chenami we'd have to go back to Rosh Hashanah.
Except he's not mechuyev.
But it's the shmua kol shofar. That's why I'm asking. That's exactly my question.
It's exactly correct. Because the cotton is not mechuyev in lining
the person who's being yotze, who's blowing, has to also have
the bachia.
As opposed,
it's a chesedavra thing. Is it the gavra which creates the chiyav and mosi, or is it the mitzvah?
The mitzvah.
No, you could be honest with Talmud Torah by hearing cotton meat to you. Right. That's a fact, right?
Right, absolutely. Yeah.
Good. So that's
good. Just excellent.
Okay, very good. A nice difference. So getting back to the Mishnah, now most of the cotton can be koyev b'toyra and even matagel. Aval in the parish of Shema, he cannot be moitzi with the Kaddish Baruch Hu priest of Shema that we spoke about. Then over the Teva, he cannot be the Bal Tzvila for Shema Nesri. Of course, he can say brachas in the morning, or he can go and sing Adonolam. That's fine, but he can be over the Teva to be moitzi people in Shema Nesri and Baruch Hu etc. Then noises kapav, he can't be noises kapav. He can't duchen. Now he can't duchen if he's duchening on his own by himself. However, Tosis says that he can dichen together with Kohanim Gedolim for purposes of chinuch, to go and be mechanachim. If he's the only Kohen in town, he's the only Kohen in Shul, then he cannot go and duchen. However, with other Kohanim, then the main reason why we don't allow him to duchen is because we shouldn't afterwards think that he is already a Gedol and then trust him with Truma and Kochim and things of that nature when he's only a cotton and maybe he's not mature enough to be careful with the Truma. Anyway, you have the Tosis here in the bottom that discusses it in greater depth. Getting back to our Mishnah, now we talk about a poicheach. What exactly is a poicheach? Rashi says, koshekroov nirin, that you can see his knees. So therefore, either it's talking about a person who's wearing torn jeans, or it's talking about a person who's wearing shorts. So such an individual, it says in the Mishnah, poides es shema umetargeim, avol einoi koire batoira, veino oivrelef nehateva, veino noise es kapav. Because of the inyan of kovod hatzibur, we don't want him to be the Baal Tfila, we don't want him to be the Baal Korei, we don't want him to be the one that duchens. Duchen is also another reason as well. We'll see him in the Gemara, because number one, people will stare at him, they won't be able to focus, as well as there's well, let's wait till we get to the Gemara. So if he's a poicheach, if he's not properly dressed, you shouldn't go in mechabed him to go and dab for the Yomid. because of the fact it's not covered at Tzima. Continuing the Mishnah, Suma for Chas Hashem, a person is blind. Poydus is Shema u'metargim. He could lead the Shema that we spoke about, the Kaddish and the Baruch Hu, and say the first parasha, the first bracha of Birchas Kriyas Shema, and he could be a metargim. Or Yehuda Oimer Koshelira Moyus Miyama Beina Poydus al Shema. He cannot be a Poydus al Shema because Poydus al Shema, Rashi said before that they also say the bracha Rishonah Shebekriyas Shema, and since the bracha Rishonah Shebekriyas Shema involves Yoitzer Ar, and he cannot see the Ar, he's Koshelira. He cannot be a Purdus al Shema. Why does the Rabbanan disagree? Mechem will see in the Gemara.
So we're Hutter from Mitzvahs usually, right?
Well, that's Machlekes. But we'll see Mechem in the Gemara. So Gemara, we started off that the Navi person also gets all those other kibbutim. My time, the Papa Omer Mishim Kavoit. What's the Kavoit, says Rashi? Since he's Mamti Atzim and the Dover She'enoi Kvaridai. It's a little bit demeaning. You have Torah to me, you have Torah. Come on, who do you think I am? I deserve a shishi, I deserve a shlishi. You have Torah. So to appease him that he shouldn't be brogues with the Gaboyim for the next 25 years, we make sure to go and give him also the Amid, and he can Dichon, and he can Purish HaShema, all those other wonderful things. That's what Rapapa says. Rabbi Barsimi Amar Mishim De Osilin Tsuye. I'm afraid he's going to start fighting. What means he's going to start fighting? He is the one that gets after you. Somebody else said, Mechabit, to be the Baal Tefillah. And he said, you're the Baal Tefillah, you Chazim. I deserve to be the Chazim. Why are you the Chazim? Now, the two answers are basically the same. And it's all the talk about Mechabit. He's going to fight. Afraid you might be naive. If you're naive, the Ovid Bechinam. Oh, the question is whether these are paying things, or this is all done on a voluntary basis. So if it's a situation where the Chazim gets paid, then the Baal Maftir says, how come he gets a salary? I should get a salary, especially before he gets all of this covered. Everybody, oh, he done so beautifully. I got to go and mutzitzach every single week to go and lay naftoira. Why do I don't get paid? Or why don't I get paid the same salary range that he gets paid? So that, says the Gemara, that's where the Osalin Tsuye comes in. But what happens if nobody gets paid? Neither the Baal Kore nor the Baal Tvilos. And then it's not a money situation, it's just a covered situation. That's what Rapapa said. Mishum Kavoid. Yeah, there's no money involved, but I feel ridiculous. I feel demeaned. I only got the Haftarah. To make him feel good, we give him those other kibbutim as well. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Mimoye Katon of Vairavi Ervel Yodai, to go and appease them and the son. If you see the reason is because Lintsuye, Katon Bar Nitsuyehu, the Katon is going to go and start arguing, you get the Amid, I didn't get the Amid. After all, number one, he can't get the Amid anyway because of the fact that he is not old enough to go and be the Baal Tefillah. And number two, he's not going to go and say, start arguing, I want to get paid because he gets paid. That doesn't sound right. And so therefore, the chayyah, the reason is like, Rapapa, Alamai Mishim Kavod. So afraid you want to be covered, and Katan Bar Kavodu. I mean, if it's a young child of 10, 12 years old, you think he's such a big knacker and such a big shot, and say, oh, he gives me only half time. And he says, the Katan, what do you expect? When we're talking about according to Rapapa Kavod, here we're not talking about the Kavod of the boy himself, the Katan. We're talking about the Kavod of his father, of his rabbi. That what? That the father feels ashamed. You know, the Choshev Smith family, my son, Yankel Smith, he shouldn't go and get a Choshev Aliyah, he give him a Haftarah, come on, Scott. So once again, you can have the same thing with Aviv the rabbi, that they say, not only doesn't my son get any covered over here, but nobody gets paid, and that lousy Baal Tefillah, he gets paid $100 a week to go and gargle zuch, and everybody wants to get out because he's just gargling just too long. So therefore the Entzuya is shayach even by a cotton as well, even though he's not going to do the fighting and it's not his covered, but the family will be offended either for monetary reasons or for covered reasons or both, like we had the two Tanan and the one. Getting back to Pecheach, Paris al Shema, person is a Pecheach, he's not dressed appropriately, his knees are showing, either because he's wearing shorts or he's torn, etc. But torn jeans, etc. What happens if he, it's a double whammy. Number one, he's a cotton, and number two, he's a poicheach. What's the din at this time? Now, what's the shaila of the Gemara? So there's a very difficult Rashi. Rashi says, starting on the top line, cotton poicheach, mahu, sheikra b'toyre. Godel bechayachudi osur mishem v'lagira b'cha ervas dover. The problem with the godel who's wearing inappropriate jeans or shorts,
short pants,
exactly. What happens? You have a problem of l'gira b'cha ervas dover. Of a cotton in a mullah. A cotton is only a cotton. He's not. It doesn't have dinah chenach. Or dilmalei paligmas these. Maybe there's no difference. So the Shagas Arya says, I don't understand this Rashi. You're not talking about a person that's not wearing pants at all. We're talking about a person who's wearing pants, but they're short, or they're torn jeans, or whatever. So there's no erva. It may not be a covet for the tzibor that he's wearing torn jeans, or whatever, but it's not an erva situation. So the chayr, what's the difference? Why is Rashi? Yeah, you want to say something?
They're not wearing pants, they're wearing togas. I mean, this is
that's what I was going to say.
It's something short, then the erva is exposed, might be exposed, or it's distracting.
It's very, very, very short.
Yeah.
Rashi said that the kraim are exposed. That's what Rashi said. He didn't say that base erva is exposed.
It draws the eye. It draws the eye to the erva. It's a
talking about the socks and the words of kilt.
But either way, it's not the erva. You have to see the erva.
Exactly. If he's wearing a kilt, he'll be shy of.
The men get skirted also.
Okay. Anyway,
the shot really is it the knees or is it the erva?
Exactly. Okay. So that's what Rashi says. Number two. Another thing that you have to understand, if we're talking about mamish erva, that, as you say, that maybe something is exposed, so what difference does it make whether it's a cotton or a godel? You're not allowed to go and say a tefillah in front of a cotton. We're not talking about a baby who's being diapered. You're talking about a cotton who's 10 years old, 12 years old. If his erva is exposed, that's also you're not allowed to go and say a tefillah in front of it. That's also an erva's dover. So he was like, what difference? It's not a problem in the cotton. The problem is in the tzibur. If a people in the tzibur see erva, and it doesn't make a difference. It's a godel or cotton erva. So it's a little bit shvei derashi. And therefore, the Shagas Arya says that the pshat in the Gemara is really not a question of erva, but it's really a question of kavod. That maybe, and we're going to see that that's going to be l'chayra, the teretz of the Gemara. In fact, let's get to the teretz and we'll come back. So, boy, mini ulubar, rabbi, cotton, pechech, maushi, kriptayim. Amalei, the teboy l'chayorim. Why did you ask a question of pechech where his knees are exposed? Why did you ask about if the cotton happens to be totally undressed? So why didn't you ask about that he's totally undressed? Or in my time, Allah, Mishim Kovet Zibur. You knew that it's Kovet Zibur, you can't go undressed, at Ahavadanish, even though he's only a cotton. Hachanami Kushim Kovet Zibur, so the same Kovet Zibur applies even with short pants. So what was the Havamina, and what's the Gemara's Teretz? So according to Rashi, the Havamina was that maybe Erev is only a Godel din and not a cotton din. Says the Gemara, it's a Kovet Zibur din, so it doesn't make a difference between a cotton and a Godel, it's all the same. The way the Shagasari learns is that in the Havamina, the Gemara thought that the cover that we're talking about is the cover of an individual, that person that is coming in front of the tzibur is inappropriately dressed. It's not a cover to have that person going and davening for the Amid, or to go and learn from the Torah.
The individual's covered.
The individual's covered, right. Therefore, the Gemara says maybe that's only by a godel, not by a cotton. The Gemara concludes that it has nothing to do with the individual. It has to do with the tzibur. As far as the tzibur should not have such a representative leading them and doing such a major part of the tefillah, in this case, laning, if he's not appropriately dressed, even if it's just a question of wearing short pants, not a question of erva. It's not a cover for the tzibur that such a person should get up and be the representative and lead the service.
What, it's all subjective then.
Subjective.
Yeah, so that means if you want to, you go. You're your nishnish.
Okay, so that's those are the rules.
Rashi's trying to see what's more in line.
Okay, so you're happy with Rashi?
I don't think I'm saying at all. Subjective.
So the it's either Tosfos Yom Tov or the Yochanan or Boris at Tveris Yisrael that says what happens if you have seven trustees on the board of trustees and they all get together and they all say, we want to go and enact, we happen to be people that are very, very giving and very gracious, and we want to attract anybody and everybody that's Jewish, and therefore we make a rule that even if you are wearing shorts, you can go and dam for the Amid, and you can go and lay. Would that be okay? Because after all, the tzibur is saying we are mochel on our kavod. Would that be acceptable? And the answer is no. Why? Because kavod tzibur doesn't mean the kavod that the tzibur has for themselves. No, it's the cover that the tzibur has to give to Rabbi Nishlam. Rabbi Nishlam says, you want to be mechabed me with your tefillahs, then it has to be done in a real proper attired tzibur, or at least all the representatives have to be properly attired. If you're going to go lahavdil to the president, well, maybe president is not a good example, but at least years ago when you had a choshuva president and you had choshuva kings, etc., you wouldn't come in front of them just wearing shorts. So now, that would be embarrassing.
So nowadays, this would take place maybe in a summer camp or something.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. Right. Everyone's wearing shorts.
Yeah.
So, aloha l'maisa, speak to your competent Orthodox rabbi. But in the Achroinim, it says that that's not a covet to the Rabbeinu Shalom, and even if the Tzibur says we're mavater, it's not proper to have a batzula or a balkore that is not dressed properly with long pants.
Even in camp, the kids are wearing
shorts, but the batzula. Exactly, batzula. We're not talking about the mespalim. We're talking about the baltzulim. Sorry, was that
it? So if the tzibur says we are mevater on our kavod to allow women to lay, then the argument is saying that that's also not acceptable because for the tzibur is they cut a shvarah.
That's for sure.
That you have Orthodox are forbidding people women to lay.
That's a very, very touchy issue.
Hot potato. Don't touch it.
And when you put it,
it's outside the four corners of the Gemara.
Everybody would like to finish within the hour, and I think yes, to respond to that will take several hours. But I suggest you speak to a competent Orthodox rabbi and get their views on it.
And if one for the new Secretary of State, we have a good diplomat here.
So let's continue on. Zokti Moravait. Summa Poyres al Shema. It says the Mishnah that a Summa can be Poyres al Shema. However, if you just said no, because if he didn't see the Ma'oiris Miyamav, that means he was born Nebuch blind, so how can he be part of Hashma? He says, Yoitza Ma'oiris.
It's a shaker.
Tanya, Zokti Breitza, Omer Leder Abiyuda, they said to him, Yehuda, Harbi Tzafu Lidroish from Merkava, Vilayro Oysa Miyamayim. There are a lot of people that like to learn in Yoni Kabbalah and things of that nature, the esoteric, so then they go to Yecheskel and they start delving into the Maisa Merkava as much as they can in terms of their intelligence, in terms of their understanding. They never saw the Merkava. None of us are going to see it. It's up in Shemayim. So you see that you can learn things and talk about things and all the rest, even though you never saw it.
Doesn't that apply to everything? Like we say, Az Yashir Moshe, we didn't see the parting of the seas yet. We're talking about it, and we're, you know, so, I mean, I think that is... I don't know.
Well, let's see what the Gemara's answer. The Gemara's answer is going to answer your question as well. From Yehuda Osam, Yehuda says, how can you compare Masa Merkava to the Indian Yoytza Ma'aris? When you're learning Masa Merkava, it's not that you strive to see it physically with your eyes. It's be Avanta Deliba Talimot. The word Avanta is from Lashon Bina, that it's the Bina Salev. If you understand what you're learning, you understand. If you don't understand, you don't understand. You're trying to delve into it to understand. Okay, so even though you never saw it, you never will see it, but it's a question of understanding and bina. V'hokamachavim, v'yoda. If in fact he has enough brains and he has a good Rebbe and he understands what's going on and he conducts himself appropriately, he'll be machavim and he may in fact understand what the Maisa Merkava is about. V'hokam, when you're giving a brachot and thank Hashem for creating the light, Mishamanohu. The reason why we're thanking Hashem for the light, because as a result of the light, we can see, we can walk, we can go, we can do. But this Summa, unfortunately, doesn't, he never, ever had Hanoah from the light, because the Mishnah used the expression, Leiro Ma'oiris Miyamav. Sounds like from the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda would agree that if he was born with sight and only later in life lost his sight, he would be able to make the bracha, because at least historically he was a person that was zochet to the Yoytza Ma'aris. But if he never ever saw, he never had Hanoah, how can he make such a bracha? For Rabbanan Isli Hanoah, no, he does have Hanoah. What Hanoah does he have? Kirab Yoysi, the sign Umr Yoysi. Kol Yom Mahisim and Tzar on Vikrazeh. Rabbi Yoysi said, whenever I came to this pasuk, I always had Tzar. What was my tzar? It says in the pasuk, it's a pasuk nebuch in the Toichicha, v'yisem ha-mashish patzoraim kashi yamashish o'iber ba'afeila. That person is going to grope and try to see in the middle of the day, like an iver, like a blind person, nebuch gropes during the night when it's really dark. The word oifel doesn't mean night, oifel when it's really dark. Why does the pasuk talk about yamashish o'iber ba'afeila? Even yamashish o'iver be'emza hayo. It's the same thing. If you're blind, you're blind. Chas v'shalom, you don't see anything. What difference does it make? Ah, Shabbat Maisel Yodi, says Rabbi Yossi, I had a story. Pamachas Yisrael malach b'ish and lay. The one time I was going at night, va'feila v'ra'isi suman. I saw a blind person, a malach b'derech v'ulcha b'yan, and he was walking around with a big torch in his hand. Amar tila b'di avukazulamalach. I see that you're blind. What are you going to do with the torch? How does that help you? Amali calls magic. Ulcha b'yan. As long as I'm wearing that, holding that torch, but the other brain, oh, you see, people come over and they see me. And they see that I'm blind. That nebuch umatzilin. Oh, you see, and they help me. Men apchosim from potholes. Umen akoytzim. Umen abarkonim from thorns and thistles. So even though I personally will not be able to benefit from the avuka directly, but indirectly I have a no, because people then guide me, they see me, and they'll hold my hand and say, watch out, here the car is coming, wait at the curb, don't cross the street, and things of that nature. You have buzzer clear him somewhere.
A person goes outside in the sun, he's blind, he can still feel the sun. He has an off, not alone. I mean,
that's for the heat. That's or.
Or?
That's or illumination. Illumination.
Yeah.
And this was the sun, this was Navuka. This was
but saying, but or means or comes from
on a day like today, do you no, so that it's cloudy?
But can on a summer day?
It's not up. That's Yotzei Me'oros, is from the light. We're not talking about the
illumination
of the sun. Zog to Mishnah Baiter. Okay, so that's based on the Machlokes, according to Yehuda, since you don't get direct benefit from the light, therefore you don't make the bracha on the button, say you don't get direct, but you get indirect benefit, other people will help.
It's interesting, Rabbi Yehuda says, Me'yamav, and we had a few days ago, that someone who's a katan is not in the parsha of giving evidence.
Right.
So it should be not from the time of his barchiyav, really, not, because if he was a katan, then it's not decisive, not dispositive that is he had hanar or not. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole shakamataria with Rabbi Yehuda, the land with Rebbe. Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe in Rambam and Chatan and Amatir.
100%. So the Mishnah, koyin sheyesh biyad the moment. Now we're talking about a koyin that has blemishes of whatever type. We'll see mentioned in the Gemara a few different examples. He has mumin biyadav la'yisas kapav. What's the reason why he shouldn't go in duchen? So Rashi says the reason is because, look at the Rashi at the top, Lefisha mistaklim boy, people are looking at the hands, and it says Mistaklim Chagiga, Mistaklim Kahan, Bishosh, Shemisim, Skapeim, Enof Keos, Chas Shalom, his eyes can get dim, his vision can get dim, Lefisha Shchina, Shar Al Yedeim, because he's looking at the Shchina. You'll notice, however, he brings them aside, Tosis respectfully disagrees, and it says that's only in the Beis Hamikdash where they say that the Enof Keos. Outside the Beis Hamikdash, it doesn't say that that's the reason, but rather the Gemara gives the reason, Mishum Hesach Hadas. Hesach Hadas means that if you are supposed to be being Mechabit, when the Kehanim are Duchening, a person shouldn't be spacing out and saying to himself, well, the Bracha will be Chal on me because I'm just standing here in the audience. You're supposed to be Mechabit, Yivracha Hashem, he's going to bench you. Vishmurach, he's going to go and watch over you, he's going to go and give you Bracha, and you're going to be Noisei Panim, and he give you Chain, all the words. You're supposed to listen, and you're supposed to be Mechabit. If you're going to look at that person's movement, then you're probably going to go and knock the guy next to you. See, they look at his fingers. And so therefore, it's going to be a terrible distraction. So Rashi says the reason is because ain't of chaos, but the Tosis disagrees in Chagiga and says the reason is because of Hesach Hadas. So therefore, if a Kohen has these types of movement in his hand, lo yisetz kapav. The Achroinim bring that today, since the minig in most places is that the Kohanim cover over their hands with the talis, this halacha no longer applies because people can't see the hands. And of course, in most places, the people also cover over their heads, or at least they turn down and they don't look toward the Kohanim, so they don't have this issue. But anyway, continue on the Mishnah, Yudayim Af Mishnah Hoyu Yodav Tzvois Stis. Whenever he didn't have a mum, however, he had paint or dye on his hands, also he says kapav nishah, because people will look at his hands and they will not be mechaven or ein of keos like Rashi says.
This is a dye.
A dye. Zokimar Tano, we learned in the Brisa. Mum shomru, the fun of the other barak. It's not only a question of the adayim; it's also in the ponim, because if the talus is not over their heads, then I could see the person's face. As far as the feet are concerned, says Rashi, as we know, the minhag is that the kohanim take off their shoes. Of course, if they're wearing socks, then you can't see a mum on the foot. But if the person is not wearing socks, and now he's barefoot, oh, look what he has. He has all that stuff on his feet. Oh, and therefore, again, it will be a distraction when people look at that. Om Rav Shem Lady, Yodav Behakniyos. Lehisez Kapav. Behakniyos means that they're white spots on his hands.
The book is a type of tzaras, usually.
Actually, in Parashas Tzri Metzoyra, it says that if the Metzoyra has this type of nega, but there is no seir lovan, or don't say it zohayv, or it's not to be pisyoin, boyak hu, parach ba'or toheru. So Rashi says on the word boyak that it is a kosher form of spot, of
discoloration.
It doesn't have the isser, it doesn't have the din of negatras, it's a kosher form of it, it's okay. Tanga vihochi yodu behakneis liises kapov, if they're akumois or akushois. Both akumois and akushois means that they're krim. Krim means that they're not straight. Akumois is Rashi, that they're not straight. Forward looking, in other words, his hand is like a resh, where the hand is kind of bent over. Akushas means that they're bent to the side, not that they're bent forward, but they're bent to the right or to the left. The hands are not straight. Well, he says, Kappa, people see that the hands are not straight. Omer Vasi, Chayfani Ubeishani. This is your Gemara from yesterday, Brother Simcha. Chayfani means a person who lives in Haifa, or a person comes from Beishani from Beit Sha'an. Loit Yisa Eskapov. He should not go and be Noise Pon, he should not go and be the Duchener. Why not? Tami Hochi Emeriduk Neteva. The Neteva means not only Shin Duchan, but he should also not dam for the Amid. Le Anche Beit Sha'an, Le Anche Beit Haifa, Le Anche Tivoinen. And even Eretz Yisrael today, near Haifa, is a place called Tivon. Why? When they shekurin la'alfen, einen la'einen alfen. Because unfortunately they have a mispronunciation, and when they say alfen, they say an ayin, when they say ayin, they say an aleph, and they can therefore say improper words. Rashi, for instance, says, l'gabi dichonin, you're supposed to say yo'er Hashem panav eilecha. If it's said of yo'er, he might say yo'er with an ayin, yo'er Hashem, right? Un ya'ir. Often makes the difference between the aleph and the ayin. Anyway, so the yarish and ponim v'loshin kololuhu ki ish ponim she is parshul loshin kas. By saying yar with the ayin instead of saying with an aleph, unfortunately had a negative connotation. Chas shom like that of a kololuhu. I'm not exactly sure what the word yar with an ayin means. Usually a yar is a forest, but here apparently it has a negative term that it means like a curse. Chas shom. That's the only thing that you would find in the duchanim, because there are no ayins in the three brachos of Birchas Kuna. And if you do find an ayin, I apologize, but that's my understanding, that there is no ayin. So, would you have an ayin? So Rashi said, but about Tefillah, he could have many ayins in Tefillah. So if he mixes up the aleph and the ayins, and the aleph, it could have the wrong interpretation, the wrong meaning. So don't be mechaber them either for duchening, and don't be mechaber them for davening for the yom. Of course, nowadays, we Ashkenazim generally do not distinguish between the one and the other, and so therefore is no longer an issue. But in those places where they do distinguish, then this would be an issue.
So Rav Asi is equating Siyas Kapayim with Marim Lefnei HaTeva.
It's Tanya Mahochi, it's a Brais.
Right, so, but that's Marim Lefnei HaTeva.
Right, not, this is Duchni, correct.
Okay.
Zogti Marav Vaiter, Omle Reb Chiyah Reb Shimba Rebbe. So now we have a real life story that happened, which comes out in a little bit of a negative way. Reb Chiyah says to Reb Shimba Rebbe, Il Moli at the Levi, were you to be a Levi, Apostle Atam and a Duchan, you wouldn't be able to go and sing on the Duchan like the Levium do, Mishum do Obi Kola, because you have a very coarse voice, you have a thick voice.
Bad
voice. Sorry?
Deep voice,
coarse voice.
Yeah, but it means he's not
anyway, it's an unpleasant, right? It's a negative connotation. So Reb Shimon Bar Rebbe was offended, and he went now to his father Rebbe. And he said, also, this is, you heard what Reb Chiyah said to me. Rebbe was not pleased, and Amalei, he said to him, Zil Eimalei, if you want, you can go and go back to him. Say, Kishat Magia, Eitzel, when you get to the Pasuk in Yeshaya, V'chikisi L'Hashem, V'nintiz Mecharef V'megadif. Be careful how you pronounce the word Chikisi L'Chas Hashem, you shouldn't be Mecharef the Rebbein Shalom. What is this referring to? As you know, even those of you that have ever met Hungarians, some of them have difficulty in pronouncing the ches, and the ches sounds like a hey. We had some Hungarians in the shul. If they wanted to go and say, oh, he's a Husenbucher, they would say, ah, Husenbucher, a Husen. They couldn't pronounce the ches, and it sounded like a hey. So Chas Hashom, instead of V'chikisi, it could sound like V'hikesi. V'hikesi Chas Hashom V'losh and Makeh, which is Chas Hashom Mecharef and Megadeth. So therefore, Rebbe said to his son, Reb Shimon, Reb Chiyah also has a similar problem. You have a thick voice, a coarse voice, but he, unfortunately, he cannot pronounce the heyins and the cheses properly, so he could also get into trouble. Right, Amar Avuna, Zavalgin. Zavalgin, says Rashi, is a person who has constant tears. In other words, a person who cries very frequently and you see the tears. Leisus Kapov, he shouldn't go and be Noisa Kapayim for the same reason that people are going to see in the middle of Duchening how he's crying and they're not going to focus or Ein of Kehois, like Rashi said before. So he shouldn't go into Duchening. There was such a Zavalgin in Rav Huna's neighborhood, and Rav Huna was the one that said Zavalgin is Leisa, and Rav Huna allowed him to go and be Paris Yodei. So Tmahu Doshbi Yerehavet, everybody knew him already. He's been, you know, he's a frequent flyer in Dichening. Everybody knew him for the last 50 years, so it didn't attract attention.
Freaking quiet.
He was talking about Dichening. So
No. He
frequently would Duchen, and everybody knew that he was a Zavalgam, so it didn't attract attention because everybody knew him. So
it was normalized.
Normal. The question would be, what about the cases that we had before? A person has a mum on his hand. And I know this fellow for the last 55 years, and I know he had white spots.
Paint
on his hands. Normally people don't have 50 years of paint on their hands, but it could be. But you can have a person who has a mum. He's a bahaknois, he's a kumois, a kushois. Does the same thing apply if he's dosh be'ira, that everybody knows it doesn't, is a problem? So Tosis talks about that. I in the second Tosis. Getting back to Ag Gemara now, who dosh be'ira, tanya mehochi, zvalgan, yisus, kavad, the moi dosh be'ira, then it's mutter. Similarly, over Rabbi Yochanan, sum v'achas me'enav, nebuch, he's blind in one eye, yisus, kavad, for the same reason. I, who dosh be'ira, everybody knew that he has one eye, so it didn't attract attention. Tanya mehochi, sum v'achas me'enav, yisus, kavad, is mutter. Right. We said at the end of the Mishnah that if the Koyan was Yodav Tzvua, it's metastis, lo yisus kapa, because it's a dye, metapaint. Tanim roiv anchi ir, malach the mekach. What happens if most of the people in that town happen to be painters or dyers? So everybody has dye and paint on their hands, mutter, because it's like a dosh be'iroi. Everybody's wrong, everybody knows. Right. Maybe if it were clean hands, maybe that would be the attraction. Look at the Mishnah, right. Ho'imel in yoyof ne'atev b'tzvuin. Apis levonim loy yaver. Now this is a kind of a strange concept. I don't think we're used to this, and that's why it sounds so strange. A person says, I'm not going to go in front of the omid whilst I'm wearing colored clothing. I only go in front of the omid when I'm wearing, for instance, white clothing. If it's colored clothing, I'm not going to go in front of the omid. Says the Mishnah, Apis levonim yaver. He shouldn't go even if he's wearing white. Then why would a person have such akpada not to go in front of the omid wearing colored clothing? So Rashi tells us, if you look at the second wide line down below, Shema minus nizrakabai, haminim oivdei avodah zarah makpinim mekach. The Apikorsim, they had that hakpada. My Gemara, there's a one, those were at the bottom, that koimrim talmidei Yeshu Hanotri. Among the disciples of Yeshu Hanotri, this is a such a minig that they would probably wear white robes at all times.
Where's this Rashi?
The second wide line. You don't see the Rashi? I'm sorry. Second wide line. All the way down below. Second wide line. Do you see the Rashi? Shema minus nizrika by haminim.
Thank you.
And do you see the one there?
Yeah.
And the one takes you over here.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyway, so the reason why people would insist, I'm not going to go wear colored clothing, because unfortunately they were among the early Christians and they had that minik. Don't allow him to go and daven at all because he is a kosher. Besandal, if a person says besandal any oiver, I'm not going to go and wear sandals. Apparently, also for similar reasons. The Gemara doesn't go into it. Even if he wants to go and go barefoot, don't allow him to daven. If he has these types of crazy things, it's not craziness, it has to do with
heresy
and Christian customs and things of that nature. Now this is a different situation. Person who makes his tefillin, and particularly tefillin shel rosh, if he makes it agula, instead of making it square and flat like we have it, he makes it round, and as we'll see in the Gemara, also pointy, in the form of either like an egois, like a nut, or like an egg, where it comes down with a point towards the bottom. That's a sakonin. The ein ba mitzvah. The reason why it's a sakonin is because, as you know, you put the tefillin shel rosh on the mokim she tinoik roi face, where it's a very sore spot, and therefore if it's a hard tefillin, most of our tefillin are hard, if it comes down to a point on the bottom instead of coming down flat, Chas v'Shalom, if you give a zetz, chulila, that can go and pierce into the person's brain.
But so, isn't it halacha moshe?
That's why it's in the Gemara. Whenever the person didn't put it on top of his head, he put it on his meitzach, on his forehead, or al pasiyod, he put it on the palm of his hand. Harizu derech minus. Now, why is this called derech minus? Is Rashi, because since it says in the pasuk, it's supposed to be fitof is bein einecha. He says bein einecha means literally between the eyes. The chacham said that it means on top of the head. I don't care what the chacham say. I am a Bible expert and I read the Bible. The Bible says you put it bein einecha. I'm putting it on my meitzach. So therefore, he's a mini apikoros. Or else it says you're supposed to put it al yadecha. Oh, I put it on your dech. I put it on the palm. It doesn't say you put it on the muscle, on the part, the arm. But Chacham said, "Is yeah." So therefore, he's a min. He's a apikoros. Tzipan zohar. What happens if he, instead of making black tefillin, he made them gold plated, or nasal place unkli shalai, instead of putting it directly on his skin, he put it on his sleeve. Harizeh derech achitzayim. What means the derech achitzayim? The reason why the person is putting on the sleeve is because he is essentially saying that I want. That when I'm wearing tefillin, I want to show it to others. However, Rashi says, it says in the pasuk, you have to see it, not achirim have to go and see it. So you're putting it on the sleeve, you are disqualified. The reason why he's called a derech achitzonim and not derech minus, because he's not saying that that's the only way to do it. I do that. I don't mind people putting it under the sleeve, I put it on top of the sleeve. The case of the derech minus, he's saying, what the rabbi said, I don't believe it, they're not right, they're talking narishkeiten, I will not put it on my head, I'm only going to put it on my meitzach, I'm only going to put it on my pot. That's a myth. This person, derech itaynim, in the sense that he has his own interpretation, and he says, I don't mind you do it your way, that's fine, that's okay. But I like to be a show-off, I like to have gold tefillin instead of just black tefillin, I want to go put it on basically. It can also be derech itaynim because he puts it on the outside.
Right.
The outside of the tefillin, he puts it on the outside of the sleeve. Anyway, all of these things are improper, no good. Dr. Misha, Dr. Imar, we said that someone who goes in front of the teva, he says, I will not wear cardinal clothing. My time, Chayshin and Shem, Aminas, Nizra Kabai, and that's the Rashi that we saw before, because maybe he's one of the early Christians that seemed to have been makbid on that. They were white robes, and they wouldn't wear any cardinal clothing. This is support for that price that says that the tefillin have to go and be dafke meruba square. That is halacha meyishtina. It's got to be merubais both the way that you tefarim. Tefarim means that you stitch it up around. If you look carefully at your tefillin, you'll see around the box on the outside, you have the border has these stitches in it, so that the stitches have to be nicely square. Ubalachsoinan means that it has to be so square that you have an alachsoin, the hypotenuse, which is going to be the 1.4, which is the Pythagorean theory, that 1 squared plus A squared plus B squared equals C squared. So if you have 1 on one side, 1 on the other side, that's 1 squared is 1, 1 squared is 1, 1 plus 1 is 2, and therefore the square root of 2 would be 1.4 and a drop. So that's what Rashi says, it's got to be exactly 1.4, 1 and 2 fifths. Okay, so that's, it's got to be Meruba. So since we see in the Mishnah that if it's Agula, Sakana Veinba Mitzvah, Lechay Zaraya, that to this halacha, Sil Meruba is halacha Moshe Sinai, Amra Papa, no Nishkarai, Masis Navida Ki Em Goyze, it's made like a nut or like an egg, and therefore when it's like a nut or like an egg, Chas Shalom, it can go and pierce the person's skull. However, Rashi said, what happens if it's round like an adasha, like a lentil? That's flat, so it's like a round. Maybe that would be permissible. There they don't have a problem of sakon. So I have no raya to the bright. Avada, the bright is good on its own, that halacha l'moshe Sinai, it has to be meruba. But from our Mishnah, we don't have a raya, because maybe our Mishnah would permit a lovely circular tefillin, as long as it's flat on the bottom. But if it comes like such an oval shape, where it comes down with a point, either like an egg or like a bayan, that would be problematic. I would just point out over here, the last Rashi says, ki em goyza, agulois ki egois. If it's like an egg, it's like a
walnut?
It doesn't have to be a walnut.
An almond,
but with the outside. Like
the shell?
The shell, which is pointy, comes down pointy at the bottom.
Not pointy at the bottom?
It is pointy at the bottom. That's the problem that it might go in. Woman's not fine. So that's right. Anyway, go look at all the nuts and see which ones are pointed, which ones are not. So that's a gula skeges. Agula kibeyu kadash shaper dami. Now kibeya adash, which is flat, that we understand. But kibeya also comes down. Right. You notice it says beis kibeya ayin rishash, and the rishash says that this is a mistake. How do we know that's a mistake? Because if you go back earlier into our Mishnah, into the Rashi, see Rashi. So those two are considered to be
equally dangerous,
and therefore the Rishash changes the gear. See, in the bottom it says agulas ke egois oy kebeya. And therefore, we decide the brayso. We see you have no raya for the brayso of our Mishnah because that's flat and it doesn't come to a point. And that's the point of myself. Have a wonderful day. Zag is in. Rami, you have a question?